Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden back. Chuck and Julie show, True Straight Up, on this hump day. I've got a great show for you, a lot of great guests.
That's right. We got Dr. Paul Nathanson hanging on. We're going to go to him first, talk about the Joe Biden thing. I want to let you know you can listen to us at chuckandjulie.com. Listen live. Check it out on YouTube. If some people are trying to get us on Facebook, and you look at this later, we had issues with Facebook today, so sorry about that. I'm really excited. Coming up at 20 minutes after the hour, we're going to be talking to a centennial woman who had the audacity to open up a restaurant for business, and now the bureaucrats are battling with her, trying to force her to shut it down. We're going to be talking to her, and then Dr. Brian Dunedep too, on A Tale of Two Governors. But first, let's just jump right into it with Dr. Paul Nathanson.
And our program is brought to you.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, by Colorado
Citizen Press, as well as Synergetics. Okay, we'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour, but Colorado Citizen Press, go to if you're a conservative. And just an enormously great resource. Everything. I check it two or three times a day now. Great articles, great everything else. But right now, I've got her returning as Dr. Paul Nathanson. He's a gender history and religious studies professor at McGill University in Canada. He's also an author of four books, including most recently, Spreading Misandry, the Teaching of Contempt for Men in Popular Culture. Great to have you back, Doctor.
By the way, you should just mention my co-author's name, Catherine Young.
Okay, thank you.
Well,
all right,
thank you. Happy to.
So wanted to talk to you about this whole, you know, Joe Biden thing. We've talked about hypocrisy, you know, the whole Me Too movement. And we talked with you before about, like, you know, your book, the Attacks on Men. But just first, let's get your take on this whole
Tara Reid,
the allegations against Joe Biden. What do you make of all that?
Well, I live in Canada, so I'm a little bit remote from
You're lucky.
Washington circles. But I mean, I get the basic idea. I don't care about the details.
Right.
The double standard is that people like Kavanaugh were pounded relentlessly by people who just automatically believed or said they believed his accusers. And in the court of public opinion, he was guilty. And for many people, he probably still is.
Yeah.
But Biden had similar allegations.
Worse.
And people thought, I guess, that he was good for women. So even if he was not good to women in his personal life, he was in his political life, and that seems to be all that matters.
Right.
And he's a Democrat. I mean, yeah. Whether it's Ted Kennedy and Mary Jo Kopechne, or it's Bill Clinton and his various victims, if it's one party, it's one thing. If it's another party, it appears to be a somewhat different standard for some people.
Let me ask you this, Doctor. I have a question because I have mixed feelings about the whole Joe Biden thing. I got to admit, on the one hand, I think the Me Too movement, where, you know, you must believe the women, and it was destroying lives, destroying careers, just someone which could just make an allegation, right? And we seem to have gotten rid of completely due process. And in fairness, I think if that's going to apply to Republicans, it should apply to Democrats too. And I got to say, I think that given everything that's gone on, that before, you know, all of a sudden now you've got everybody, even the New York Times, saying, well, maybe we need to look at a plan B. All of a sudden, Joe Biden, who I think has a lot of other issues, shouldn't be the candidate because this woman has come forward some 27 years. Granted, she raised some of these allegations before, but I have mixed feelings because I think, you know, the whole Me Too movement seemed to just get rid of any kind of thought of due process. And I wonder, what are your thoughts? Is it more, do you think, that movement just is kind of running its course and there are enough women out there who are saying, hey, look, I have husband, brother, son, who I just don't want to be accused and his life destroyed? Or is it politics or somewhere in the middle?
Well, I personally feel very little sympathy for Biden because it's not so much that Me Too got out of hand. He was among the people who basically created Me Too.
Yes.
That's true. Good
and he
point.
He was responsible for the Violence Against Women Act. Never mind.
Yes, and the letter to colleges on Title IX, which got rid of
he was
the
one who was in charge of the new Obama-style
right.
guidelines for Title IX,
mm-hmm.
which basically gutted due process. So I find it a little, I have a little trouble feeling sympathy for him.
Right. Do you think
that's an emotional response? I mean,
right.
on an intellectual level or a moral level, it's, you know, what's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander.
Yeah.
Everybody yeah. should have one single standard.
Do you think, though, is the Me Too movement, I mean, in any kind of positive way, sort of shifting back more towards sort of a concept of due process? Or where do you see all of that going in this past, I don't know, year, year and a half?
Well, it's a year and a half isn't very long for historical developments. I think they might have run out of very high profile cases in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
There's certainly plenty of politicians who are fair game for Me Too. So I don't think it's over at all.
Okay. What?
There are, of course, as you say, there are women who speak out. Even in the New York Times, there was an editorial, or at least an op-ed piece.
Right.
So there are more people thinking about it, I guess. That is true. But so far, the dead weight of this mass movement is still out there.
What do you make of, you know, looking at the Democratic primary, there was a lot made of, you know, on the one hand, there were women candidates, and then the Democrats, with all of their identity politics, end up with Joe Biden, right? A establishment.
Oldest, whitest.
Yeah, oldest, whitest guy you could.
Touchy-feely male.
You know, I mean, and in your work on sort of this attack on men, what do you see happening? Is it more of an attack, do you think, among just like the elites? And when you actually get right down to people tend to be more fair-minded and look at a person, go call me crazy, but their character and things like that? Or what do you see happening in general on this, you know, as you've talked about the attack on men in general?
Well, there are plenty of ordinary people who have both common sense and common decency. That's always been true, and it's still true.
Right.
But the most influential people in the public square, which is to say highly educated or academic, political leaders, bureaucrats, journalists, the most influential people are
right.
the most ideological. And that's one of the things that the Democrats ran up against. Their party was hijacked and moved sharply to the left. I mean, that wasn't just an accident. There was a reason for that.
Right.
So, you know, I'd love to be able to tell you and your listeners that we're all getting beyond this, but I don't think that we are. I can't prove that, of course. It's just a subjective opinion.
Right. What do you think this is doing? We have a third grade son, right? And I worry about little boys, basically, in today's world, right? You see so many things are geared toward little girls. You know, you can have exclusive little girls things, but not exclusive little boys things. What do you see, you know, for kids like him, you know, when he grows up, when he's 20, 23, 30, how do you see that world shaping up?
Well, if I were to get out my crystal ball, it's hard to say. So many things come out of the blue. Suddenly we have a pandemic. Who knew?
Right. Good point.
But the trends, we're still in the midst of this cultural revolution. I don't see it ending soon.
Yeah.
And in 20 or 30 years, people might have thought about these things more carefully or not. You know, let me give you an example.
Okay.
I was reading today, the new guidelines for Title IX have just been issued.
Right.
And so I read a brief sort of synopsis of it. And in the synopsis, I read that colleges are advised to be very careful and support survivors.
Mm.
Now, the problem with the word survivor, I have a lot of problems with that word. Because I think that it's basically, it's one thing to talk about a survivor of cancer or a concentration camp.
Right.
It's another thing to be a survivor of a misplaced word.
Right.
In any case, what the word signifies is that a survivor is not a survivor until proven so in court. Until that time, an accuser is simply an accuser. So even these new rules, they've sort of allowed the old lingo to linger.
Right.
So that we should be in the habit of calling anybody who alleges something, oh, that's a survivor.
Right.
Well,
we don't know that until
and
a court proves it.
And it seems like it also immediately is sort of like an unfair playing field, right? Like you said, it hasn't been proven. We don't know. There's not any idea what the other side is, but that person is automatically, it seems like with this language, bad, the bad person.
And they might as well say perpetrator for the other side.
Right, or you know, attacker or something.
Well, but we don't even know that until it's proven in court.
Right.
Well, it's never proven
during
in court.
During the trial and before the trial, we just have an accuser and an accused. That's
right.
It.
Right.
Well, you know, I'm a lawyer and I've done a lot of trials. And, you know, one of the hardest trials to prove or not prove is a rape between two people who know each other, much less 30 years later, which is why you have statutes of limitations. I mean, they weren't just made up. But if everything gets to court and you expect the truth to come out, you'd be shocked that it, that's really not the part of a trial, is to kind of pit two sides against each other. One will win, one will lose. Whether the truth will be told or not, who knows? But for Title IX cases, you didn't even get that.
I don't think they even care about the truth. The truth is, it's my truth, right? My truth, which can change daily if I want.
That's right. That's what I heard during the Kavanaugh hearing, or not the hearing, but outside the court, the assembly room, people said, you need to listen to us. We have our truth.
Right.
Now, that's crazy. There's no such thing as our truth or my truth or your truth.
Right.
Something is either true or it's not.
Well, let me ask you just a couple more questions for you. Chuck and I just finished, because we've been stranded, binge watching Game of Thrones, right? And one of the things I noticed is all of the really strong characters were the women, right? The women were always clobbering people and flying around in dragons, and they were taking power.
The only good men were eunuchs or castratos. I mean, they're okay, but other than that, there really is only one kind of sensitive male.
And he was very sensitive. But then in the meantime, though, the whole thing was flooded. I read a review. It said it's like they kind of brought a 13-year-old in and said, what do you think this sea needs more of? And he was like, more naked women.
Frontal nudity. We need more frontal nudity.
So they had this bizarre, strong women then filled with just gratuitous, random female nudity, but no guy nudity. You maybe saw a guy's rear end, but that was about it.
They had one scene.
You know, so it seems to me that for all of these elites to try to tell us, and the show is enormously popular, by the way, if you haven't seen it.
It's own bias.
So, you know, people still are people, right? And what sells still sells. And I just found that was just so odd, though. There was this kind of weird mix of very strong women, yet they always had to get naked, throughout the whole show. Have you seen it?
I saw one episode and didn't like it.
we tried one time too, and then we were stranded. But do you see that? I guess what I'm getting at with that is in pop culture, and when you look at what people actually really watch in the movies, I'm trying to be hopeful here, I guess. Not that female nudity makes you hopeful, but just that though, that people can see through sometimes some of the nonsense that our so-called betters would subject us to.
By the way, I have a lot of trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, okay. Well, never mind that question. Then that was just my Game of Thrones kind of thought. Listen,
well, how do people get a hold of you and get your books and everything else?
Well, the books are on Amazon.
Okay.
Including one that is not part of the Misandry series. I wrote a book on The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
You'll find that also. But the books are all on Amazon, and I always welcome if you would ask your viewers or listeners to write to me. You have my email address, and I answer all letters.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, so how do they get hold of you? Can you hear us, Dr. Nathanson?
You got a bad connection?
Okay, so do you have...
What's the email they should write to you at?
Well, my email is WordWatcher, because I watch words as a freelance editor.
Okay.
WordWatcher@Videotron.ca.
Okay. Okay. Hey, I'm writing this down. WordWatcher@Videotron.ca. All right. Well, Doctor, thank you for your time.
Great to talk to you again.
Yeah, apologize for the audio thing there, but thank you for joining us. We sure look forward to talking to you again someday.
That's fine with me.
All right, thank you, sir. Sooner or later, I'm going to get somebody too to explain the Game of Thrones thing to me. All right, we're going to switch gears now. And if we've got Randy Corcoran and Jen Hulan, and then Jen Cook, I think are all going to kind of come with. Oh, there they are.
Randy piling up.
So you know, maybe people have seen the. Hey guys, there's been this big, huge case in Texas where a salon owner opened up her salon. The judge is going to throw in jail. Now the Texas governor and attorney general are saying that's ridiculous. But we've got a somewhat similar situation playing out here in Colorado. So Randy, why don't I, as soon as Chuck turns off his phone, why don't I kind of toss it over to you and you can introduce Jen and tell us what's going on, okay? Well, turn your audio on. I have an audio issue. There we go. That's better.
How you guys doing?
Good, good. How about you?
We're all right. We're sitting here in the office at Water's Edge Winery.
Oh,
all right.
University.
Hi, guys.
We're both fully sober at the moment.
Okay.
Hope you'll remedy that in a while.
do you guys know Jennifer, right?
I don't think we've ever met, but, you know, we almost came down to your place Sunday and then got tied up with some other stuff. But I guess when we get a big question, we've had a ton of people already emailing us and saying, are you open, right, you know, for business today, if people wanted to come?
I am open for business today.
All right, fantastic.
We are open. There are people out there right now, all at a safe social distance. The place is spotlessly clean.
Fantastic.
Right.
We've got a call from the liquor board that we've got a return. We've received a warning from Tri-County Health that was dated yesterday but didn't show up on the door until today.
I think that's CPG, actually.
Well, no, it's this is a Tri-County Health Department.
Okay.
It's all right. They refer to the CDHPA, the Colorado Health Department order.
Right.
And and then we also have about another 30 minutes before we need to have responded to a investigator from the AG's office.
Oh, there you go, Mr. Bud Weiser's.
Okay, so let me ask.
Well, let's tell people where this wonderful place is, so if they want to come visit it before the authorities attack. Well, where's it located?
The Arapahoe University on the northwest corner. It's simply a beautiful, beautiful place.
Oh, it's great.
Right. Well,
It's hot out, the weather, you know, slight breeze going, fresh air, a very healthy place to be right now.
Wow.
Jen, I want to talk to you a little bit. First, let's get you to talk about this business. When did you found it or open it? I know Chuck and I have a small business, and we know what it's like to put your sweat, your tears, your life savings, your hopes, your dreams into a place. Tell us a little bit about your place and how it came to be.
Okay. So Water's Edge Winery, we started it 5 years ago this past March. We were just about to celebrate our anniversary, our fifth anniversary, when all of the drama with the COVID happened. And so we make our own wine right here. I have an amazing chef that we've been doing really great, and things were going wonderfully until all of this happened. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's great. What did this do to your business? And then tell us why you decided to open Friday.
Well, so initially when all of the panic was happening and we didn't know much, we didn't have a lot of data, we closed down. We closed down for a week, and that gave us time to retool and try to stay in business by doing curbside to go and take and bakes and things like that. And, you know, it just, people came out and they supported us. I had people buying batches of wine because people can bottle their own wine here. Buying cases of wine. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We'll definitely be down there.
Back in a better day. But anyway, so basically what we're up against is, you know, we tried to do that and my sales were less than half. And so we got to May 1st. And, you know, there's a movement, the May Day movement of opening small businesses.
Right.
And silly me, I thought we were all going to open together, but looks like I may have been the only one. But honestly, the reason I chose to do it is because I struggled to think that with all of the data that's coming out, with all of the information that we're provided now, I don't think this virus is what they said it is.
No.
And I feel comfortable, and there are enough people that feel comfortable making the decision to come in and dine with us because they're grown-ups and they're American and they're free to make that choice.
Right.
Well, let me kind of ask a couple questions. Randy, what are the guidelines now that are applicable? I guess you're in Adams, Arapahoe County. When is that supposed to loosen up or not loosen up? Are they under the governor's edicts, or does Tri-County Health have their own separate one these days?
Tri-County Health's orders are more stringent than the governor's at this point.
Okay.
We're working on a sheet. It's crazy that, you know, this arrow over here and all that.
Oh, yeah.
To try and figure out what's in play. But I think right now for Jennifer to be in legal compliance, she could only be doing curbside pickup and delivery. No
one. Is there any time limit for that? Is there a time limit where that fades off, or is that unknown?
Well, that's a good question. So when they called me last Friday, they said, why aren't you waiting till May 8th to open? And when I said, well, what is my guarantee that you will keep that date, because we've pushed it out three times already. And also, what magical pixie dust thing is going to happen on May 8th that all of a sudden will be safe? And I don't know, maybe if they gave us some guidelines and said, you guys are responsible adults that are running a business. We've given you our licenses, a liquor license and a food license. So I'm already under the purview of the Tri-County Health. They know that we're clean and that we're capable of keeping people safe. So why won't they just set us free to do what we already do?
And
with,
Randy,
guidelines.
What's that? I mean, legally then. I mean, it seems to me, like you said, it's not like you're forcing people to go there. The only people who are going there are people who want to go there and they feel comfortable. It seems to me that it's her business. So what right at all does a bunch of unelected bureaucrats have to tell her that she has to close down her business, she can't feed her family, she can't pay her bills, and none of the rest of us can even go there and enjoy it if we want
to? And why does, if she were in Douglas County, she'd be set to a different set of rules. What's the difference between Adams County, Arapahoe County, and Douglas County as far as the pandemic?
Yeah, apparently Tri-County drew some distinctions on the rate of infection and the number of cases, you know, the slowing, the flattening of the curve and the slowing of the numbers. Douglas County, of course, tons of wide open spaces. The businesses are less packed together than some of them are here in Arapahoe. Arapahoe's giant, but we're in kind of the metro-y area of Centennial within Arapahoe County. So I think some of those are all the factors. And here's the problem, you know. Jennifer potentially could be facing criminal liability of a first-degree misdemeanor, which is 6 months to 18 months in jail, $500 to $5,000 fine. Having her licenses, any special licenses she has, taken, having this behavior considered if she tries to reapply for any of those licenses.
Right.
And to answer your original question, Julie, about the basis that it happens, it's all under these broad emergency powers that the governor has exercised and then delegated to Colorado Department of Health, Tri-County, et cetera.
Well, that just seems like wrong. I mean, this is the kind of thing I'm getting more angry about this as I sit here, Jennifer, just so you know. What do you think you're going to do? I mean, I'm assuming that, Randy, they've given you guys till what?
Half an hour?
Yeah, half an hour.
Half an hour left, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And what are you going to do? Do you know? And first question. The second part is, what can we do to help?
Well, I know you've got Jan on. She's going to talk about Colorado Freedom Force. They're trying to raise money for legal fees, not only for businesses like Jen's, who may face legal consequences if they continue to exercise their constitutional rights as American citizens, but also we're trying to put together some civil action to run some interference, maybe make allegations for money damages because people are losing their livelihoods. Her home is, you know, security for the small business loan that got this place off the ground.
Right.
And so raising money to have resources to push back against the unlimited resources and virtually right now unrestrained power of the state is probably the best thing that viewers and listeners can be thinking about doing right now.
And Jen, what do you think you're going to do? Do you know?
No, I don't know. It's been my contention that I plan to stay open and fight this and fight for what I believe are constitutional rights. I think we're in a weird position right now as a country that these types of things are being stripped from us. And this is one huge overreach. And, you know, I'm just a Midwestern girl trying that grew up pretty poor and I put everything, sorry. I put everything that I've ever worked for into this business.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And to see just for stupidity and politics. Oh, Jen, I'm so sorry. It is, what's happening is just so wrong.
And it's so much worse here in Colorado. Instead of having a conservative as a Republican
governor, attorney general who would back you up,
you got two far left hacks.
Right. Jennifer told me that she'd heard the AG in Texas had demanded the release of the hairdresser who was sentenced to jail for 7 days.
Yeah.
And this is the impossible position that people are putting in because, Julie, your point at the beginning was so right on. There's no funnel that's forcing people to walk through this business right now.
Right.
There's nothing that forces people to show up here. They can determine for themselves if it's clean, if the distancing is good.
Right.
They can decide for themselves if wearing masks that make you inhale your own carbon dioxide and you could pour water through. I don't know how they stop a microscopic drop. Not a doctor, obviously. But people can make those decisions. And for the first couple of weeks, I really had no problems with everybody hunkering down. But we figured out, is this like biological warfare? How serious it is? And it is serious. It is dangerous. But so will be getting back out on my motorcycle and driving to the next stop.
Yeah.
And I make that choice every single day.
Well, it doesn't appear that death rate now is a whole lot different than influenza. And we've managed to do that for endless decades without bankrupting small businesses and everything else. And it doesn't appear any different. I didn't mind, like you, Randy, when they said, look, we got to flatten the curve. We're going to run out of hospital beds and ventilators and everything else. And when that all proved not necessary, now it's, we can't allow anybody to open us until they have a vaccine. And that's what the governor of California said. They're just moving the goalposts.
Yeah. Well, and Jen, it sounds like you too. You said, okay, when this first started, you said, okay, let's see what happened. And then as time went on, it seemed not necessary. And meanwhile, you're watching I'm so sorry to see, you know, your tears, you're watching your life dream and your livelihood go down the
tubes.
And
maybe your freedom.
Right. And now maybe your freedom.
Physical fear.
It seems, let me ask you this. It's insanity to me that they're letting convicted felons go and that it's too dangerous to go to court. So they can't have trials and things like that. Yet it's not too dangerous for everybody to show up and drag you off to court and maybe put you in prison. I mean, what do you think of, or jail at least? I mean, that just seems prison. So backwards.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine me sitting in a jail cell talking to the prisoner next to me, telling him the reason I'm here is because I was exercising my freedom or I kept my business open?
Yeah. Right. It's like, what are you in here for, carjacking? What are you in here for, opening my restaurant? It's just insanity. I mean, did you ever think, Jen, that you would be, I mean, the cool thing about America is that you can do stuff. You said you grew up not very rich, and yet you built this up, and you can do this. And that's something something that's great about this country. But did you ever think it would be turned around on you like they're doing?
No, not at all. So one other thing, my husband served our country in the Navy. He served in a nuke sub during the first Gulf War. He's a good Southern guy, and he's half owner of this business. He's our winemaker, and he's kind of a silent partner. He lets me run everything, but this is the kind of thing that he went to war for, to fight for our rights and our country, and this is how they treat us. So we're veteran and woman-owned business, and I've been attacked from the health department to we had the police show up yesterday, although shout out to the Arapahoe County Sheriffs. They were really amazing and very kind. They just said they were just stopping by to check on us. So I don't know, exactly why they were here, but the threat of going to jail, the threat of losing my licenses and my livelihood, my house, I mean, my entire retirement, I spent 20 years working in a job that I basically didn't like, and, built up a nest egg so I could then move on to open my dream, my winery. And here we are, and all of that can go away. And because very rich people at the top of our government here don't care that I have people here that I'm trying to keep paying their bills and feeding their families.
All of whom are getting their full paychecks, all the government workers, all of the bureaucrats.
Oh, yeah, exactly, Randy. Everybody
from the top down. And, there is a variance process in the Colorado Health Department reaction to Governor Polis's order for counties. And my question is, why can't there be a variance or a set of guidelines for a business like this that has the room, has the facility, has the types of surfaces that you can tell are, spotlessly clean,
right,
lots of open, fresh air, all of those kinds of things. That is who the government should be serving, is individuals who are simply trying to keep their dream alive and not lose their house as a result of this virus.
Right.
But why in their own inestimable wisdom can the big boys, Targets, the large
dispensaries
and liquor stores, that's okay. We're all safe there. But if a small little winery wants to open their business, that's a deadly threat, which we must
come
down.
Kill people, and you got to go to jail.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
These are all great legal arguments. There's no question about it. All the unequal application of the law under the current orders in place, a food service facility inside a institution of higher learning or inside a medical facility can open up and operate as long as they follow certain rules, the same rules that she is very carefully following here.
It's just unfair. Well, Jen, one more time, where are you, and how can, because we're going to go to Jan Cook now, who can explain sort of a broader thing, because I think, I kind of wish everybody would open up. They can't throw us all in jail, right? Okay. I mean, if you want, we'll come down there and we'll sit at the table, and we'll use our bandanas to tie ourselves to your table so they can't get rid of us, but they can't haul us out. I mean, where are you, and what do you want people to know?
So my little business is at Arapahoe and University. We're on the northwest corner of Arapahoe and Vine. And, all I guess I want your listeners to know is, if we don't stand up now and tell government that they're overreaching, they're overstepping, and that they're basically alleviating us of our rights, right? If we don't stop that now, soon we're going to be Russia, we're going to be China, and we won't have any freedom. So I appreciate there's a great group of people, including Jan Cook, and now Randy, I've got a great group of people behind me, but are we powerful enough to take on the government before I go and rot for a year in jail? Because I'm just a good Midwestern girl from Michigan. I'm not looking to go to jail. I've never broken a law in my life besides maybe speeding a little bit, but yeah.
Well, fortunately, I've never had the speeding problem.
Yeah, no, you're okay there.
But, my answer to your question, your final question there, is that we need more businesses to get on board.
Yes.
I'm getting calls all the time about, well, let's sue somebody, let's do something. But those people aren't stepping up to be potential plaintiffs by actually opening their business in the civil suit, or putting themselves at risk, as Jennifer is, with potential criminal liability by actually opening and functioning in the middle of all this. And the only way we're going to have the power to beat this back, unless we find some legal machinations to do it, is if lots and lots of people do the same thing.
All right.
We want to bet you the best of luck, Jan. We're coming down. Hope you're open tomorrow.
Thank you, Chuck and Julie. I am. We'll see, I guess.
All right.
Call ahead.
We really admire you. Thanks so much.
God bless you, and thank you so much. And just go to Jan Cook with Colorado Freedom Force. And Jan, I'm going to apologize, just a couple of minutes, but you have launched again another project, Enough is Enough. And we got Brian Jundep standing by. We'll get to him in a second. But Enough is Enough. Why don't you tell us about this and what kinds of things you guys are doing to help business owners like Jen?
Yeah, real quick. First of all, Jen, I'm going to start to cry.
Because I know.
She is really an incredible business owner. She literally, if you go to any events at her place, she's such a little marshal. She makes sure that she only has capacity. She adheres to the rules. She is a phenomenal citizen in that area. And I look at her tavern, if you will, or her winery, but I look at it as a tavern of when patriots got together back in the day before our independence, and they would collaborate and talk about how are they going to be free. So out of respect for her and the many business owners all across Colorado, the message Colorado Freedom Force kept getting was, we can't afford to fight back. And so we've developed the Colorado Freedom Force ColoradoFreedomForce.com/defense fund. It's a separate entity that is going to collect funds that will solely go to supporting attorneys like Randy Corcoran, who will take on these cases for the Jen Boulans of Water's Edge Winery. And
that's not easy, because there's no assurance you're going to get paid. And whatever you get paid, it's going to be something less than your hourly rates if you get that close to that. So we got to really thank Randy Corcoran for standing up and representing Jen.
And not only that, some people said to me, well, why aren't you asking attorneys to do this pro bono? But think about it. If you do this pro bono, we're not going to get the dedicated time we need.
Right.
To be able to pay for the service so that our people, our small business owners, can get immediate service and help and relief. So please go to ColoradoFreedomForce.com/defense fund and please help these small business owners who are, all they're doing is trying to make a living in our communities.
Sounds like a crazy idea, Jen. All right. ColoradoFreedomForce.com/defense fund. We'll have you back to talk more about that. So thank you so much for your guys'
time. Thank you for your time.
Well, right. Now we'll go to another of our favorite guests, Brian Jundep. He's a ophthalmologist and a regular contributor on the political scene, on American Thinker and elsewhere.
Hey, Dr. Jundep, thank you for joining us. And I want to maybe start off by asking you, you know, we were talking with a woman and she's opening a business, and it's just every day you look, there's like, you know, you can open this day, you can't, it's like it's illegal today, it's not illegal tomorrow. You know, sort of from a medical point of view, you know, is there some magic pixie dust, like you said, that they're sprinkling that suddenly make it all safe on May 8th, but we'll all die on May 7th? I mean, what do you make of just all the conflicting and crazy messages we're getting from the so-called experts on all of this in the first place?
There is no magic formula. Can you see me and hear me okay? Zoom stuff is challenging. I'm kind of a luddite when it comes to all this. So
no, you're good. You're good.
I have more trouble with Zoom. I do better at Zumba. But
medical school. You're great.
There is no magic formula. All of this is a balance between safety and economy. And to eliminate all risk, as some suggest, you'd have to stay closed until there's no trace of this virus, which could be, you know, years potentially, or a vaccine, which is iffy. Flu vaccine's only effective about half the time. There's no AIDS vaccine. It's not so easy to get a vaccine that works.
Well, then there'll be another virus.
You can't make complete safety. So, and you have to balance that against the economy. Does it matter one day to the next? No. All the decisions are based on models, and they want to see a declining death rate, declining hospitalization rate, new case rate, whatever metric they're looking at. They want to see 14 days, but does it matter if it's 13 days or 15 days? No, not really. You're looking for a downward trend. Well, the whole purpose of reopening is you don't want a surge. You don't want to overwhelm the healthcare system. That's the whole premise of flattening the curve. And that's we've been very effective at that because, you know, other than New York City, really no system has been overly stressed. They haven't run out of ventilators. Nobody's gotten pulled off a ventilator. We've done a good job. Whether we have or not, or whether this would have happened anyway, is subject to debate.
Yeah.
But the curve has been flattened. I won't say we flattened the curve because I don't know that for sure.
Right. Well, when you flatten the curve flattening means you're going to extend it.
Right,
that's
yeah.
correct.
I mean, you're not getting rid of the disease correct. Quicker. In fact, you're making sure that it lasts longer.
That's correct. The only purpose of flattening the curve right. is to not overwhelm the system. That's
and the system is not being overwhelmed.
And it's not.
So why are we flattening? Why are we keeping with it? What's the theory now?
Destroy the economy.
That's a whole nother subject. But yes, sure. it's an election, and I'm pretty certain if a certain other person was in the White House, we wouldn't be going through this.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about too. You know, you had a great column in American Thinker where you outlined a tale of two governors, where you've got Governor Polis. And Colorado and Georgia, you kind of outlined were similar, but because one governor is Democrat and one governor is Republican, those are the only major differences.
One's gay, one's not.
And one is Satan, and the other one is the Savior.
Beloved. It gets on Neil Cavuto, and Neil can't slobber over him fast enough.
I mean, kind of talk about that.
Sure. Georgia and Colorado were very similar in their reopening plans. And I give both governors credit because they got out there early. They're not being, you know, dictators like the governor of Maine or Michigan or Oregon, where they want to stay shut indefinitely. That's crazy. So I give both of them credit. But the media reaction to them is far different. Governor Kemp of Georgia has been vilified. He's killing people. He wants people to die. He wants blacks to die. It's become a racist thing for CNN, typical. Right. And Governor Polis is getting puff pieces.
Right.
You know, he's thoughtful. He's making difficult decisions. He's trying to, you know, balance things. But Kemp is wants everybody to die.
Right.
And well, the one thing we have in common is
the difference is, as you said, one is a Democrat, one's a Republican. Polis is the first gay governor. You think they're going to go after him? No way.
No.
Absolutely. But I also have.
Rail.
Yeah, you also have, you know, two kind of more dictatorial mayors of the major cities, Denver, Hancock, who is not the brightest of people.
No.
But he's lame duck and a strong Democrat.
Well, but he's making rules that nobody can figure out what they are or why they are.
3-year-olds have to wear masks at daycare centers.
Does anybody
watch that happen, right?
Can you see? Try to put a hat on a 3-year-old.
And a toddler leave.
I mean, it's insanity that 3-year-olds have to go around with masks on, which they're going to rip off. But that and the mayor of Atlanta, she's nuts. She's a lot brighter than the mayor of Denver, but and better looking and a few other things. Yeah. Well, she is. I mean, she's an attractive African-American woman.
No, now we're going to get banned again. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's
you can't get banned. You're on your own show.
There you go.
Julie can ban me.
You'll be in quarantine while she does the show.
There you go. But it's just, and here in Colorado, I mean, you're kind of going, what is the difference between Douglas County and Denver? I mean, it's
County
just,
line, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. It's just insane.
No, it's silly. Some of these leaders, the mayors, they're, you know, they have a chance to be little dictators, and they're taking advantage of it.
And they enjoy it so much, you know.
We got some of the comments. People are chatting with us, too, where people are saying Jared Polis is being a dictator.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let me ask you this then, too, because, you know, you're a doctor, so I'm sure people ask you these kind of from a medical point of view, but it seems to me, given what you've explained and outlined, as just the complete politics surrounding this whole thing, makes it difficult for people like the woman we were talking about before, Jen, open your business. It's like, why should I, this is just politics is what seems to be governing things and governing the immediate reaction.
Well, we own a newspaper, so we had people put ads in when they told them they can open up May 1st.
Oh, right.
And then they said, no, you can open May 6th. Now it's May 8th. Now maybe not May 8th. How is anybody supposed to run a business? And none of these people
anything they say.
And none of these people,
exactly.
I mean, the mayor never ran a business, so he has not the slightest idea how many businesses he's destroying by kind of going, oh, it's good today, no, not today, not tomorrow, no, the governor's right, no, the governor's wrong. I mean, it's insanity for somebody who's got to operate, and if you could call it a regulatory environment.
Absolutely. Businesses thrive on certainty.
Right.
You have uncertainty, they're hiring people to open on a particular date. They're ordering supplies. Maybe these supplies are perishable. You order food to open May 1st and you're not opening till May 8th. What do you do with the food? It's all going to spoil.
Right, right.
You can't run a business that way. You can't have willy-nilly, we're going to do this one day and then the next day it's something else. That's crazy. And well, it's the same thing. You asked about in the medical world.
Right.
It's elective surgery. A ban on elective surgery. And that's been federal, state, all levels.
Yeah, and but because I lost a major tooth, and I said, well, great, this is not elective. You know, it's hard to bite on that. You know, it's not elective. The tooth rotted out, you know, and they go, no, it's, you know, and the dentist was great saying, you know, I would consider it not elective, but I can't risk my license. You know,
Think about what's not being done.
Yeah.
Mammograms are not being done. Colonoscopies are not being done.
Right.
Breast biopsies are not being done. A lot of cancer therapy that's done within a study protocol, a clinical trial, because research departments are shut down. So there are a lot of things that are not happening, stress tests, other things that pick up disease early at a treatable stage. And we're going to become like Canada, where it's a 16-week delay from when the GP refers you to a specialist to the time you're seen, because they're not doing elective stuff. And elective stuff doesn't mean, you know, getting LASIK done or getting, you know, a Botox injection or something. These are medical issues, and there are implications to delayed diagnosis. And they're going to be cancers that are diagnosed at a less than treatable stage because of that. Nobody's talking about that. Even in the eye world, think of cataract surgery. People need cataract surgery because they can't see. So somebody is confined to the house with poor vision. They trip, they fall down the stairs, they break their hip. And an 80-year-old, that doesn't go too well.
No.
That's something that's potentially avoidable.
Let me ask you this, and you may not, I'm going to throw you a loop here, but because I saw part of it. We had one of our producers is saying they watched that YouTube video that's out there now called Pandemic. Have you seen that the Dr. Mikowitz, I think her name is, who had gotten a fight with Fauci and was
yes,
that
I watched that. I watched that at lunchtime. It was really
okay.
Good.
What's that about, and what do you think of that?
It's called Follow the Money.
And
yeah.
This is all about big money and pharma. And I you know, they want to see Trump's tax returns. I'd like to see Fauci's tax returns.
Yeah.
I'd like
to
see
yeah.
where he's who's paying him and where he's getting money and where he's invested and what vaccines and what royalties. And it's you see a lot of that in academia that a junior researcher has good results and the senior guy steals it and publishes it under his own name because there may be patents or royalties or fame and fortune that go with it. Yeah. And there's a lot of that.
You know, talk about follow the money. I was reading, so Governor Cuomo is now saying, oh, we have to reimagine, he said, education. And guess who's going to help him do that? Well, Bill Gates.
Bill Gates will reimagine Common Core.
Well, they already sold all the schools Common Core, so now they got to sell a whole other. And I'm saying to any parent who has tried to do their third grade math with Common Core, there was another study that came out that said the Common Core is failing the students, the test scores.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and that's why. You can't, like, you're looking at how to do the division. I'm like, what? You're using charts?
It's good fun. If you have a mathematical brain, it really is kind of fun to see what division is, right? But in third grade, you're not going, hey, what's the theoretical basis behind division? Can you do it? No, you're trying to figure out how to do long division.
In the meantime, they're trying to make more money. It's right. We're going to have Bill Gates invent a whole new system of education.
Bill Gates can only be allowed to do this if they only use Apple computers.
Yeah.
No Microsoft.
That's right.
No PCs, no Windows, just Apple.
Well, you know, back to the
of course he won't.
the follow the money. I mean, part of her, I thought her message, to correct me if I'm wrong, was that she has some concerns about some big pharma vaccines and things like that perhaps might be contributing to some of the stuff we're seeing these days. And, you know, some of the stuff that Fauci is touting as the answer is actually perhaps more part of the cause.
Well, vaccines are controversial. That's a big subject, but a lot of them don't work, and they may have unintended consequences. I remember I was in college when the swine flu thing happened back in the 70s.
Right.
There were a bunch of people that died from the vaccine. I don't recall people dying from swine flu. And fortunately, my father called me and said, do not get this. He was a pharmacist, and he said, under no uncertain terms, do not get the vaccine.
Well, I got to go to the hospital for knee replacement, or maybe it was one of my hip replacements. And of course, it was during the swine flu, and lots of people with swine flu. So I got to be getting sent home with the swine flu and trying to get over knee surgery. So it was a
bad combination.
But we've only got a couple of minutes left. Dr. Gina, where can people, you got another column out. I know you're an American thinker all the time. Where can people find you?
Yeah, I have a Twitter page, at Retinal Doctor, R-E-T-I-N-A-L Doctor. I have a Facebook page for where I post stuff, including my articles. No blog, that's on my to-do list. web page, all that, that's too complicated.
I
just enjoy writing. I have a column in The Villager, which is Arapahoe County paper, and I'm an American thinker once or twice a week. So those are the main places where I can pontificate and bloviate, as Bill O'Reilly
said. You're on the Chuck and Julie show too, so thank you.
That's even better.
All right, take care,
Brian. Thank you there. Thank you,
Brian. See you guys. Take care.
Dr. Brian Doomed up there.
All
you
right.
Got
well,
to
I want to make sure we get enough time. You don't
talk
much
about,
time.
Yeah, we got about a minute to talk about
Synergenics. You know, Dr. Julie McCallum, it's an age management program, and it gets everything, exercise, vitamins, hormones.
Here's their number.
And you probably heard Peter Boyle, as he credits Julie McCallum saving his life. I do too, tell you the truth. I had a heart procedure and, you know, I've lost 40 pounds.
Yeah.
I feel, you know, great. But you'll go over there with a 7-hour analysis. And while these times with COVID-19 coming back, you want to be part of those non-risk groups. Those groups, you're not going, oh, I've got these problems. You want to have no problems, at least to the extent possible. So Synergenics, Dr. Julie McCallum.
Let me spell that for folks.
Sure.
C-E-N-E-G-E-N-I-C-S.
And the number is 720-387-3681. That's 720-387-3681. It's one of those, you'll be glad you called her, and you will be.
All right. I want to thank the folks also, ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Thanks to we'll keep you updated on what's going on the winery situation. Thank you to Dr. Nathanson. Thank you to Brian Doomed. And thank you to our producers, Don and Doug, and all the folks at BBS.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you on Party Friday.